Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. And let's roll through what we always roll through. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there. Should be sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, that would be cool. I mean, you went all the way over there. You might as well like it, right? Don't forget your feed, which is Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime. That's B-U-R-K-E-I-M-E. And, all right, the big news that just jumped out at everybody this morning was, you know, there were a lot of cuts made in the NFL as teams try to get down to, you know, that 53 number, and then they're going to obviously bring guys back from the practice squad. But right off the bat, the big name was Cam Newton is released by the Patriots. So that means Mac Jones will be the starter and Brian Hoyer will be his backup. Now, if you know how the Patriots work, they generally only carry two quarterbacks. They will carry a third one on the practice squad at, you know, certain points in time. They've done things like that. But this is a little bit of a surprise for me. Like, I've heard some of the experts come on and say, oh, yeah, this is no shock. No, this is a bit of a surprise because I thought Cam was playing pretty well, and he looked a lot better than he did last season for the Patriots. You know, obviously Mac Jones is the future, but I'm not sure if, you know, if Mac Jones gives them the best chance to win right out of the gate here. So it's going to be really interesting to see how their season goes and how, you know, things kind of get rolling for them, because I believe they have the Bills to start their season, so they don't have an easy matchup right out of the gate. So we'll have to see how they do, or, you know, how just kind of how it goes for them. But yeah, I was surprised again, you know. And I mean, I know, you know, Mac Jones had a solid preseason and he looked good. And I do wonder if possibly Cam Newton having to miss some of that time with the, you know, with the COVID issue, made them decide to make this move. So I, you know, again, to me, it was a surprise. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I don't know how it's going to go for Cam or what his next possible landing spot is. I mean, there are always teams out there looking for, you know, quarterbacks. So, it is possible that he finds a new home and, you know, somebody takes a shot with him, but it's doubtful he would be a starter this season. You know, there's just no real landing spot for that to happen. So we'll you know, we'll have to kind of keep an eye on it and, you know, see how or if he finds a home. But I was just, like I said, I was quite surprised that he ended up getting cut. And I know locally there are some people talking about the fact that the Bears released Desmond Trufant. But what I was a little more surprised by was they actually let go of Daz Newsome, and my guess is they would probably try to bring him back to the practice squad is what I would think they would do. But yeah, they cut him loose there, and we'll see. And you know, a lot of wide receivers went today. Like the Eagles cut Travis Fulgham, who had a couple pretty good games for them. And last year, you know, he had 38 receptions, 539 yards, and 4 TDs. So he looked like somebody that they would have hung on to. You know, but again, it's, you know, there's a, you know, a lot of wide receivers, and there is the chance that, you know, he'll be brought back. You know, I did see the Saints cut Devonta Freeman, which was kind of interesting because there was a lot of talk that Latavius Murray was going to be the cut and Freeman was going to get that spot, but it looks like the Saints went the other way. Peyton Barber was also cut by the Washington football team as we know it now. And no surprise there. I think there was a lot of thought that was going to happen. And then in what was kind of a surprise for me, and I haven't been following the Ravens, but they cut Pernell McPhee, who has been a pretty good edge rusher through his career. So, though, you know, those were some of the, you know, some of the surprising cuts. And you can go and, you know, find the list and see if anybody shocks you on, you know, who got cut and all that other fun stuff. But, yeah, it's that time of year in the NFL, and teams have to make room for these guys. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they, you know, they have to get under that salary cap. So they're, you know, working on, you know, guys that, you know, we'll have to see. You know, in some cases, it's possible to say, you know, money has to do with it. And obviously, it's cheaper to keep a veteran or a rookie than it is to, you know, hang on to some of these veteran guys that have salaries attached to them. So, you know, again, it's just, you know, while it is a sport, it is also a business. And, you know, sometimes in business, you let these guys go, and it, you know, it shocks people and fans are surprised. And, you know, we just gotta kind of see how it goes, and, you know, watch where some of these guys end up and who gets brought back, and, you know, how it kind of goes. So, you know, just gotta bear with it. So it's, you know, again, like I said, it's life in the NFL, right? You know, and I know that I saw that the Vikings made a trade. They acquired tight end Chris Herndon from the Jets. You know, a lot of people liked Herndon and expected him to kind of break out. Now, they haven't released what the Vikings have given up to for this, but it's no surprise. You know, they let Kyle Rudolph sign with the New York Giants in free agency. And then Irv Smith Jr., who is the tight end who – it appears as was going to take over for Rudolph, hurt his knee and had to have meniscus surgery. So he's going to be out for a little bit, you know, and we'll have to see, you know, if Herndon can pick up the system and, you know, how quickly he can kind of establish himself as the Vikings tight end. But yeah, not a bad pickup, depending of course on what they gave up to get him. So, you know, we'll wait and see if that comes out or how that goes. You know, and then I did see that the Saints placed wide receiver Michael Thomas on the physically unable to perform list, or the PUP list, as they like to call it. You know, it's been a weird off season for Thomas. You know, now this keeps him, you know, from practicing for the first 6 weeks of the regular season. So, you know, that means his first game couldn't be until week 7 when the Saints face the Seahawks. You know, Thomas went underwent ankle surgery, and now he waited really long to get the ankle surgery. He didn't get it until June. And, you know, so obviously the recovery went a little long. Sean Payton did say, I don't remember how long ago, that he was ahead of schedule in his recovery. But I know, you know, the team wasn't exactly about him happy about him undergoing the surgery as late as he did. And I can't blame them for that. But, you know, obviously it's his choice, and I guess he wanted to try rehabbing it before going through surgery, which, of course, you know, you don't blame him for. But, yeah, it just didn't kind of go his way. So we will not see Michael Thomas, fantasy owners. You know, you won't see Michael Thomas until till week 7. So if you've had your draft, well, I'm sorry. If you haven't had your draft, well, you have a little bit of an option to kind of, you know, work your way around it and figure out what you want to do and how you're going to get there. So good luck with that. But yeah, you know, I don't know. What else is going on in the NFL? Have you had your fantasy draft? I had one over the weekend and actually made a big mistake and got in trouble for it. I've forgotten this league that they don't allow you, for whatever reason, it's just how the league is run. You're not allowed to draft 4 quarterbacks to start with. Now, after week 1, you can pick up a 4th quarterback if you like. And I had ended up with Jameis Winston during the draft, and I thought it would just be a really good idea to go ahead and grab Taysom Hill. What I had ended up doing is I had grabbed Jalen Hurts a little earlier because I thought he was a really good value. So I had Hurts and Winston, and then down the line I ended up with Garoppolo. And, you know, since Hill was still floating around out there, I was just kind of like, you know, I'm going to grab this guy just in case, because you know he's going to play. He's still going to be that gadget quarterback, and he's going to get those rushing attempts and all the other things that go along with him filling in these different positions. So I thought he wouldn't be a bad option. So he was actually my last pick in this draft, and then I got an email from the commissioner chastising me. So I did cut him, and we'll see if I can go back in and pick him up after week 1. So, yeah, I was a total tool bag, and hopefully, you know, it won't hurt my standing in this league. So we'll see how it goes. But we did have one early game today, and it was actually a continuation of a game from back in April with the New York Mets hosting the Miami Marlins. And it's humorous because when you look at the team's record in this, the Mets did win this game 6-5. And at the time, that made the Marlins fall to 2-7 while the Mets were 3-3. Obviously, that's changed quite a bit since then. But, you know, just to help out fantasy owners here, Jeruz Familia picked up the win as the Mets made a ninth-inning comeback against the Marlins. Marlin closer Dylan Florio took the loss here, even though he wasn't charged with any earned runs, because I believe the winning run scored on an error. Fantasy-wise, not a lot of huge numbers. Jonathan Villar did homer for the Mets, and so did Brandon Nimmo. Nimmo had 3 hits. He was 3-for-5 with a couple RBIs, but the only other Met with more than one hit was Dominic Smith, who went 2-for-4. Jazz Chisholm Jr. went 3-for-5 with the Marlins with a run and a ribby. And Brian Anderson was the only Marlin to pick up more than 2 hits. He went 2-for-4. The Marlins didn't have any home runs. They did have a double by Jesus Aguilar, and Chisholm Jr. did also have a double. Or actually, I believe he had 2 doubles. So that was the only early game in Major League Baseball today. Everything else is scheduled for tonight. So we will run through the schedule here. We have we already do have one postponement, as the St. Louis Cardinals at the Cincinnati Reds has already been postponed. But we've got the Philadelphia Phillies at the Washington Nationals. Matt Moore and Patrick Corbin are the listed starters. The Baltimore Orioles are at the Toronto Blue Jays. Keegan Aiken and Hyun-Jin Ryu will start there. The Boston Red Sox are at the Tampa Bay Rays. It's Brad Peacock and Ryan Yarbrough as the listed starters. You'll actually get that game on the ESPN Plus. Play a second game. It's Edward You get Zach Plesac and Jacob Junis as the listed starters. We got the Pittsburgh Pirates in Chicago here to take on the Chicago White Sox. Bryce Wilson and Luis Giolito are our starters in that game. The New York Yankees are at the Los Angeles Angels. It's Jameson Taillon and Jaime Barria as the listed starters. The San Diego Padres are at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Blake Snell and Zach Gallen are going to be the starters, hopefully, in that game. They're both listed. On FS1 tonight, you get the Milwaukee Brewers at the San Francisco Giants. It's Brandon Woodruff for the Brewers, but the Giants are undecided as of right now. We got the Atlanta Braves at the Los Angeles Dodgers. You get Charlie Morton and Walker Buehler as the listed starters in that game. And the night wraps up with the Houston Astros at the Seattle Mariners. It's Lance McCullers and Yusei Kikuchi as the listed starters. And again, one postponement, the St. Louis Cardinals at the Cincinnati Reds has been postponed. So that's what you're getting tonight in Major League Baseball. So set your FanDuel lineups accordingly. I know in Chicago baseball news, I saw that Lance Lynn has been placed on the 10-day IL with some knee inflammation. And then in another move that, you know, just one of those things that you got to start wondering about this player. The Washington Nationals have again optioned Victor Robles to AAA. You know, he's been a big-time prospect in their system for a long time, and it just hasn't worked out for him. You know, he got a chance to be the everyday center fielder in 2019, and he didn't do badly. He hit .255 with 17 home runs. Last year was given another opportunity, played in 52 of the 60 games, but only hit .220. This year, Robles appeared in 107 games, so he was given the opportunity to be the everyday guy, only hit .203 with just two homers. So now he's headed back to AAA, and you just got to wonder if it's time for the Nationals to move on from this guy. You know, I mean, he's been given opportunity after opportunity now, and it just hasn't worked out. And even probably for him, he probably needs a fresh start. He needs to go somewhere and get some new eyeballs on him and, you know, just kind of see if somebody else can do something with him, or, you know, if it's the Nationals that were the problem. You know, it's just not working for whatever reason. You know, and obviously it could be many things, but yeah, I think it's just time for, you know, him to go someplace else. And the sad part, of course, is he has pretty much zero trade value now because he's just a complete bust. So we'll have to kind of wait and see if there's anything else out there for him, or if any other team is possibly willing to take a shot with him. But yeah, I just don't see it happening here. It's just kind of past the point of no return, at least for me with him and the Nationals. Maybe they see it a different way, and they think there's still an opportunity out there to turn him into something, or, you know, maybe get something out of him. I just don't see it. Again, that's just me. You know, and I won't be surprised, and, you know, if they turn around and they call him back up in September. But, you know, you do kind of wonder how many options are left with this guy. You know, is he going to have an opportunity to get another shot here late in September, or, you know, if this is just kind of it? So we'll kind of sit on that and wait and see how it goes or how it plays out. But Andrew Stevenson was the outfielder that was called back up in Robles' place. So look for him to kind of fill the void there. But yeah, it just again didn't work out. And then I was really surprised to see this move. The Blue Jays have designated Brad Hand for assignment, and they've activated Danny Jansen from the 10-day IL. Now, if you remember, Hand was one of their acquisitions at the trade deadline. They actually shipped catcher Riley Adams, who was a really big prospect for them, but Hand hasn't done well this time, or, you know, this time with the Blue Jays, or I should just say with the Blue Jays. He's made 11 appearances, and he's 0-2 with a 7.27 ERA. Now, I don't expect him to be out of work long, because he was really solid with the Nationals. He had a 3.59 ERA and was 5-5 with 21 saves. You know, last year he closed for Cleveland. He had a 2.05 ERA and 16 saves and was 2-1. So yeah, I don't expect Hand to be out of a job very long. It was just kind of surprising to me to see that in a pennant race like this, that you could get rid of a pitcher who really has, you know, not only some playoff experience, but a really good resume. But again, he just couldn't get it together for whatever reason. And, you know, now he's you know, going to be out of a job here for a little bit, and, you know, at least 10 days, and we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, you know, again, a guy with a really solid resume, and, you know, we'll see it, where he lands, and if it was just a fluke that he couldn't get it done in Toronto. And then we had another move. The San Francisco Giants, I should say, picked up Jose Quintana off waivers from the Angels, and they designated Tyler Chatwood for assignment. So oddly, two former Cubs being moved back and forth there now. Let's face it, Quintana was terrible with the Angels. He appeared in 24 games. 10 of those were starts. 0-3 with a 6.75 ERA. But the Giants are in a bit of a quandary here. You know, Johnny Cueto just went on the IL. He got placed on the COVID IL, and I believe he joins Alex Wood on that COVID IL. So they needed a starter. I would assume Quintana is still far enough stretched out, unlike Chatwood. You know, Chatwood was a reliever all year with the Blue Jays. So he may not be as stretched out as Quintana was. So Quintana may be able to give them some innings if San Francisco needs it here. You know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see how they handle it, and, you know, kind of which way they're going to go here. You know, and obviously he's not getting the start tonight. We know that. We went over Maybe he will, because they were undecided coming into tonight's game. So if Quintana can get there, it's possible that he makes the start for the Giants tonight against the Brewers. I don't know how that would go. I would guess if you're a fantasy guy, you'd want to pump some Brewers into your lineup and hope they kind of come through, but we'll have to see how things go on. Just one of those things. I saw the Pirates did decide to release longtime outfielder Gregory Polanco. I believe he was the longest tendered Pirate on the team. And now Polanco has had his struggles the last couple seasons with the Pirates. He appeared in 107 games for them. He has 11 home runs, but he's only hitting .208. He can still steal a base. He has 14 steals. He is just 29, so you got to figure there are teams looking at him. I would be shocked if they weren't. And he was also probably the Pirates' highest paid player, making $11.6 million. I doubt they're paying anybody else that. So he's another guy I think will find work, and I won't be surprised to see if a contender adds him as a bench player. If you're looking for some outfield help, he could be a solid cup for a contender just to keep on the bench. You like those veteran guys there. So we'll have to kind of follow along. And then the other move was, Brad Peacock, who's starting for the Red Sox, was actually added in a deal. I believe he was just on a minor league deal, so the Red Sox were able to trade for him. So, yeah, you can still trade for players. It's just one of those odd things how it works out. And, the Cubs designated a couple right-handed pitchers the other day, Jake Jewell and Ryan Messinger. Interestingly, they were both picked up by the Dodgers. So, yeah, kind of a surprise there. But the Dodgers have been running through a lot of relievers, so I guess they just decided they needed a guy. The Phillies let Chase Anderson go. He was picked up in a trade deadline move, and the Rangers claimed him, or didn't claim him, but they signed him to a minor league deal, so he's a Ranger. And then we had another minor league move as the Reds. They did claim Asdrubal Cabrera off waivers the other day. Well, now in this case, they picked up Delino DeShields Jr. from the Red Sox for cash consideration. So, again, teams are still making moves. The Reds also picked up Malik Smith in a deal from the Blue Jays. Both of these guys, of course, were on minor league deals, so they were able to be traded. It's the scam that baseball's using now, or teams are using now, to be able to acquire guys. Shields, another top prospect where it just didn't work out for whatever reason. So we're seeing these guys kind of bounce around and move around, and Shields is just another one that didn't work for him in Texas. So we'll see if he has better luck in Cincinnati, where, again, he'll probably be brought up to be a bench guy with, things going on. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it plays out and where he fits in. Obviously, he's not going to be an everyday player, and he probably, even if he's called up, he probably won't get much playing time. But again, he's a guy who's got a lot of experience, and teams like to add those guys to their benches as they go through the stretch. For whatever reason, it just seems to be one of those things they like to do. Yeah, I don't get the rhyme or reason behind it, but again, hopefully it works out for Shields, and if he gets a chance to play, he'll also get a chance to kind of show his wares, and we'll see if he gets whatever he needs, or however it works out for him. It can just be tough when, you pick up these guys that have struggled as prospects, and, they move on. So we shall see. But, yeah, like always, when I'm stuck here by myself, I'm going going to roll out a little early. So if you came by and listened, well, thank you. I don't know what happened from day to day, and I never heard from him. But hopefully he'll be back with me tomorrow at 4:30. You know what to do while I'm gone. Get on over to sportstimeradio.com. The new blog will go up there tomorrow morning. There's a link that'll take you to the Facebook page, so swing on over there and give that a like. The Twitter feed, of course, is at Sportstime Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter if you want to look me up. I'm at Burketime. Again, that's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. And if you did come by and listen to me live, well, thank you for doing that. I greatly appreciate it. But if you weren't able to catch the podcast live, you can go over to tunein.com, and you can listen anytime you want. And I know I'll be here tomorrow at 4:30 to meet up with you, so hopefully you'll meet me here, and hopefully Dan joins me. Have a good day. And the music doesn't want to play. That's just ducky. So I guess I'm just gone. Take care, everybody.